now that I'm here, I'm doing great.
Wonderful. I'm so excited to be talking to you. Everybody, this is Artie Hoffman. He's the renowned psychic and medium. He has a website called Angels and Answers. It's very popular, actually. I checked it out the other night. Very interesting stuff. You were making people cry in there.
I do. They call me Georgie Porgy. Make the girls cry.
That's funny. So you are from Jersey, and it definitely shows. And a lot of people, if they heard your voice, they wouldn't go, oh, psychic medium. Tell me what it was like growing up in Jersey.
I had a dynamite childhood growing up. But, you know, my childhood had like 0% to do with where my life was then and where my life is now. Totally different. And, you know, my whole life changed in the spiritual world starting at the age of 27. And that's about where, at that point, where it all began. But as far as growing up in Jersey and a rural neighborhood, and I had like about 20 friends around the neighborhood. I had the best childhood. I really did, with lots of friends. And very sports oriented type of guy, and always liked to make people laugh. But I was known as a class clown. I actually didn't know until my high school reunions that I was people considered me a class clown. I was just
really
yeah. It's not like I got any recognition before then in the school yearbook or anything like that.
Oh, you know? That's too bad.
No. It didn't make a difference to me. I wasn't looking to, get clout for being funny. I was just being funny with my friends and with the teachers. As a matter of fact, there's this one, there's that parent teacher night.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those nights I sweated it out every single time there was a parent teacher night. I don't care what year, what teacher, what it was. I always sweated out because I sucked at school. I really did. I was likable. I was lovable, but I sucked at school. And so one of my teachers that I was really concerned about actually told my mother that I was known as Arthur back then. It said, so what do you have to say for my son? Like, what's going on? And he goes, well, to tell you the truth, he goes, he breaks up the monotony in the class. A lot of times I got in trouble, but in a fun way, not like a devious
right.
way. So,
you weren't throwing tomatoes or anything at the teachers?
Food fight! Yeah, I wasn't a John Belushi or anything like that. And so they thought that I was so funny that they would be telling some of my jokes or things that I did or said in the teacher's conference room when they were taking breaks. Teachers would come up and say hello to me, and I didn't even have them in my class. Like, I only knew one teacher. The other teachers I didn't really know, but they would say hello to me or. And so it's like, yeah. I didn't realize the popularity until my high school reunion.
So you had the original clout before social media when you...
In a sense, yeah. But you want to know something? Going up through school, I always wanted to become a therapist. I really felt like I would be a great therapist because I'm a people person. And I feel like I get people, I get situations, and it just comes naturally to me. But being that I sucked at school and I didn't have patience for school and going to college for umpteen years and all that money, it's like I didn't have it. I just didn't have it. So God said, don't worry, Art, I'll take care of you. Just do your thing. I'll work on that part. So at the age of 27, I was kind of frustrated in my life and I'm sitting in my home office. Now, mind you, besides doing what I'm doing, I also own another business that I've had for 36 years. And
right.
It's called Peeping Tom's Window Cleaning.
It totally goes with the humorous side of you. And being a medium, I'm sure there's a lot of not humorous things that you've had to feel or see within your mind. Is that how you would describe it? You see these things within your mind?
Yes, within my thoughts and within my mind. It's not morbid. It's not always sad. Because when your loved ones who suffered over here or suffered towards the last days, weeks, or months, or years towards your life, when you cross over, the moment the soul leaves the body, it's the body that dies. The person never dies. So your loved ones
right.
who said are dead, they're really not dead. Nobody dies. The body dies. And then the soul lifts up out of the body and then goes into a different energy form. And so that's who I'm communicating to. And a lot of times they're in very good spirits. And I've heard a lot of good jokes from the spiritual world while they were dead. They would be telling me
really?
Things to tell their loved ones. I mean, I'd be laughing like I'm hearing this for the first time. It's coming out of my mouth, but I'm hearing it for the first time. And it's like really, really cool. And so there's this one lady. She had a very nice personality. She lost her husband a few years ago. And she really missed her husband, but she accepts it. It is what it is, you know. She had a great personality. He had a great personality. And so I'm delivering messages to her from him. And he goes, honey, it's killing me not to be with you. And he said that in a funny way.
I can hear it in my head, like when you said that just now. That's too funny.
But he meant it in a playful, funny way. And I said, oh my God, he's so funny.
That's hilarious. When did you first realize that you had a gift?
It was my birthday when I was 27. And I asked my mom, I said, what's in the box? She goes, that's your gift. I said, ever since then, I had the gift. I'm only kidding.
Oh. This is why you're the ladies' man, right?
There you go. No, but like I started saying the story, when I was about 27 years old, I'm having a conversation with God. I'm married at the time. Nice house, nice families. Everyone got along, lots of friends, business going well, the whole nine yards. But yet I still wasn't fulfilled.
Yeah.
And I'm very frustrated. And so I'm having a conversation with God, to myself and to God, and I'm saying, God, I need answers and I need clear answers. I said, please don't scare the hell out of me when you give me these signs. Those were my exact words. So after I'm having a little conversation, being frustrated, I go upstairs because I was in my finished basement. I go upstairs to the kitchen and I'm going through the junk mail. And in the junk mail, I see a postcard. It says, how would you like to develop your psychic ability and intuitiveness? Come to the Edgar Cayce Foundation for this one weekend seminar in Virginia Beach. So I looked at it and I said, wow, that looks pretty interesting. So I asked my wife, who was my wife at the time, I said, you want to give this a shot? I said, it looks like fun or it looks interesting. I wasn't looking at it like it was the answer to my prayers. I just did it for shits and giggles. So my wife goes, I don't give a crap about that. You can go if you want. I don't have no interest in it whatsoever.
Aww.
So I went away for that one weekend and it literally changed my life forever. I'm in this one large room, very large room, with 50 other people from around the different parts of the country. And so they taught you how to open your heart, soul, and mind to be 100% unconditional with your thoughts. Don't judge it. Because what happened is that they would break us up into groups. Like once they helped train us a little bit or get us in this mindset and playing the spiritual music and getting us in that zen, if you would.
Yeah.
You know, they broke us up into groups and they said, whatever you get with the other person, just share it. Don't worry if you don't understand it. They might get it. They might not get it. You might get it. You might not get it, but just share it and don't judge it. And so a lot of people were telling me how accurate I was. So I was like kind of blown out of the water. And I said, wow. That's really, really cool. I can't believe it. I just cannot believe that I have the ability to tell people who I never met before something about themselves. This was so exciting to me. So I went home and I got myself a deck of spiritual cards and I started reading for friends and family just for the hell of it, just for the fun of it. And again, people were telling me how accurate I was. So I got to a point in my life where I made some investments. I needed some extra money really fast because I had to pay back some people that where things did not go my way in the moment. So
it happens.
I'm thinking, I know, shit happens, right? So I'm thinking to myself, what can I do to try to make extra money? And I'm sitting on my couch and I'm thinking. I said, you know what? I know how to read people. I said, I'll throw an ad in the paper. And it said, if I don't pull through, no charge. Because I didn't want people to think that I was taking advantage of them. And I'm asking for more money than I've ever made before in my entire life. And so anyway, 90% of the people paid me. And then it just took off out of word of mouth. It's 32 years later. I've read for over 32,000 people. And it's been a wild trip. I met the most interesting people, cool people. Yeah, it's been really, really fun, inspirational, everything you can imagine. A lot of times people will say to me, Artie, you're so lucky you have the gift that God speaks to you in a certain way or the angels speak to you in a certain way. And I tell people, look, it's not that I'm better than anybody else. Well, maybe some people. No, I said, it's not that I'm better than anybody else or different than anybody else. No, actually, I am different than most people. But the bottom line is, it's not who does God choose to speak to. It's who chooses to listen, because God and the angels speak to everybody. So right. It's about paying attention to the signs.
So you believe that everybody does have this gift within them and they just have to pay attention to the signs and be mindful of it and use their intuition, right? Like that gut feeling that people talk about. Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly what I'm saying. You know me. Hey, Sylvia, you know me like it's nobody's business. Maria, you're beautiful.
I have an interesting question for you. In the past, in your relationships, was it difficult having this type of gift and having that intuition? Did it ever cause any kinds of fights or arguments between you and your significant other?
Sweetheart, it's the reason why I went through 3 divorces. My first one lasted 10 years, my first one. I knew her since I was 16. We got married at 24 and lasted 10 years. And then my second wife, met her. And then I got married at 37. That lasted 10 years. We dated each other for 1.5 years. And then my third wife, that one lasted 4.5 years. But, you know, and I've had a couple other, you know, major relationships that didn't turn into marriage. But it was usually because my spirituality, I grow at a very accelerated rate. Being that 98% of my clients are women, and I'm not promiscuous, you know, 98% of my clients are women. So it takes a lot of trust. Right. You know, I get a lot of appreciation. My time isn't as accessible as everyone would like for me to always be there. But what I do is I try to give quality of time, and that's what I could offer. You know,
right.
And there are times where it is quantity of time, but still people find out that no matter how much you give because of insecurities, it's never enough.
Yeah.
No matter what you do. So I cannot stop me being me. I'm very respectful within my relationships, and that's the way I am. Do I flirt a lot? It's a part of my personality. I joke, I'm playful, but I'm not flirty in the sense where I'm promiscuous, because that's not
right.
me. It's just
right.
not me. So the person who I need to be with is just someone who's very secure within themselves, somebody who already has a life within themselves. Because anytime that anyone is in a relationship, too many times people don't become their own self. They end up living their life through their partner rather than being their own selves. And you share your life with your partner. You do not live your life through your partner. And
right.
it becomes very suffocating. It turns into a lot of trust issues. You know, it doesn't work. And I've really tried with each relationship to make it work. And if you're not able to compromise with your partner in life,
right.
then just know when the show is over. You know, the problem with a lot of relationships is acceptance. It's not just money. Money's also a big thing in relationships. But from an emotional standpoint of view, people want their partner to be how they want them to be, and they're not accepting them for who they are.
Yeah, they want to change them.
They want to change them. So the one quality that your partner had, or the couple of qualities your partner had that you love, as soon as they become a part of your life, you want to change that quality and make them more like you.
A lot of people in relationships become their partner unwillingly and unknowingly. They start to pick up on those certain traits and habits of their partner, and they essentially become them, and then they dislike their partner now, because now you're the same person. So everything that you've become that you didn't like in your partner, you've now put onto yourself, and you're starting to hate yourself at the same time.
Right. Yeah. No, I could totally relate to that. That's why they say, you know, opposites attract. It's a very good thing. You know, it's great that you share a lot of quality time with each other, or you do things together, or you go to concerts together, or whatever. But it's not necessary that you share your everything. If you make your partner your everything, you're screwed.
Yeah.
You're mostly screwed. There's the you with you, just you. There's the you as the mom. There's the you as the friend. There's the you as the family member. There's the you as the worker. There's the you as the sister or the brother. And then there's you with your partner in life.
Right.
Or you as the mom and dad in life. For a healthy balance, you should be able to decompartmentize. So it's about, and what happens a lot of times is that people end up becoming just the mommy and just the daddy. They stop dating one another. They stop going out with their friends. They go from work to home, work to home, work to home. And it's a grunge and it's no longer a pleasure.
I was just about to ask you that. A lot of people, they become, oh, I'm this person's wife. I'm this person's husband. I'm the mother of this person. But who are you? And that's something that everybody needs to take a look inward and realize, I am my own person as well. But this is a part of me, right?
Exactly. It's just a part of you. But too many times they become the mother of, or the wife of, right, or the husband of, or the father of.
Yes.
You know, rather than being their own person. Granted, it's a personal choice. If that's what makes you happy, so be it. If you're happy, I don't care what it is. If you're happy doing what you're doing, so long as you're not deliberately trying to hurt anybody else, if you're happy with you being you doing what you're doing, then don't stop. Then don't stop. But if you're in a relationship, it's all about communication and it's about compromise. It's about balance. And if you don't have trust in a relationship, you do not have a relationship. Your love could be at a 10 or a 12. But if you don't have trust in a relationship, you don't have jack crap.
But for people that have issues with trust, for example, what if somebody did something that made the other person feel like, oh, I can't trust you anymore, and that person tries to trust them? Trust is rebuildable, right? It's not just gone, like a lot of people say, in my opinion.
Right. It can be built, but it depends on the love, how passionate your love is for the partner. So under those circumstances, what I recommend is, like, if you have two people who really do love each other, really want to work it out, and say one person screwed up with trust, but you still want to try to make it work, then that's where it involves counseling and understanding. But a lot of times, the person who screwed up, most of the times, not all the times, but most of the times, is a narcissist. They will act nice for a period of time, but they're not being nice. Being nice is who you are by nature. Acting nice, I'm acting nice for now until we get used to things again and I'm back to being a jackass again or whatever. You know,
Is that what they call gaslighting?
Oh, yeah, the gaslighting.
Yeah.
But every relationship has its own merits. There's no protocol. It all depends. It takes two people to really want it bad to make it work. If only one person wants it and the other person does, then all the counseling in the world isn't going to help you because the other person's not into it. You know, a counselor is there to help two people to try to see each other's point of view.
Right.
You know, to try to make it work. But a lot of times when people are already at that point, at least one person, maybe both, but at least one person usually has someone else going on and they're not into that relationship anymore. Or I've been there, I've done that. Or I'm tired of the abuse. Or I'm tired of the lack of trust. I'm tired of being controlled. So the energy of the earth, Mother Earth, literally will take out any negative thoughts or any fears or any, you know, weebie-jeebie feelings I got going on. And so just walking barefoot. And it's also a scientific fact that when you walk barefoot on the grass, there's something about it that just allows you to rejuvenate yourself. It's very, very therapeutic. And I love doing it. It's a great feeling. So I'll bring music with me and I'll walk barefoot in the park by myself. But it's got to be on the grass.
I love that. Even though I get torn up by the fire ants, I definitely love walking through the grass. I don't even care. I don't feel the bites till later. Jeremiah Tony wants to know, do soulmates exist?
1,000%. Soulmates exist. Soulmate isn't just a loved one. A soulmate is a loved one, but a soulmate isn't necessarily your partner. A soulmate could be your child. A soulmate could be your best friend. A soulmate could be a coworker. A soulmate could be your neighbor, you know, where you have that incredible connection, that type of connection with somebody that you don't share with anybody else. It's that soul connection. So we do have more than one soulmate. It's not just a soulmate just isn't a love partner. A twin flame.
Can you explain for the people that are listening that don't know what a twin flame is, what that is?
So the twin flame is when there's two souls that connect on such a deep level where you can meet the person as if you've known them for your whole entire life, but yet you have such this deep, unconditional, passionate love for the other person that goes not only in this lifetime, but from previous lifetimes. and you can meet later on in life. It's not necessarily always at the very beginning, but where the two of you are so in sync with each other, it's like you're two souls sharing within the same soul. Like you could finish off each other's sentences. You know how each other feels. You know how each other think. There could be a lot of other good-looking people around you of the opposite sex, and you could have a good time with them, but you feel you are 100% untouchable because of your love and devotion towards your partner, towards your twin flame. There are times where people don't meet their twin flames in this lifetime. The twin flame stays over in the spiritual world where you're here by yourself, or vice versa. There'll be a time where your twin flame comes over on this part of the earth at this time, and you're over on the other side.
That's probably the cause for a lot of depression in people that feel like they can't find love. Maybe their twin flame is on the other plane, like you said, and they have yet to meet them in a different parallel universe or something.
Well, there's a lot of reasons for depression. A lot of it has to do with the way you were brought up, too. Because if you're not getting the love and respect from your parents, or if they're very dysfunctional, either as a couple or how they treated you, that definitely has an effect on all your other relationships. A lot of times people might compliment you and say, oh, you're wonderful, you're beautiful, you're this, you're that. And it's like, oh, it's nice to hear, but you're not feeling it inside, and because it's not coming from the person who you want it from the most, whether it be your parents or whether it be your partner. You know, there's a certain respect level with each relationship you have. Each relationship holds its own merit. Each relationship has its own boundaries. So what's cool in your relationship with your husband might not be cool in my relationship, or vice versa. You know, what works for you guys might not work for me, or what might not work for your other friends' relationships. You know, every single relationship has what's cool and what's not cool. There's no such thing as a protocol other than love, trust, and communication, honesty and loyalty and devotion. Those are main qualities that you need in a relationship to have a happy life within a relationship.
So being as intuitive as you are and knowing that you had these abilities and having been married 3 times, do you feel like you are still soulmates with those people that you were with before your current wife?
Yes. Yes. There's reasons. There's literally 6, including not just my wives, but also, I know I sound like Mickey Rooney or Elizabeth Taylor right now.
All of my wives. I'm just kidding.
My wives. I feel so cheap. No, but I'm going to tell you why I went through what I went through. And I do not make no bones about it. Oh, no excuses about whatever. Say, well, Artie, you're a psychic. Didn't you know this? No, because I'm in my own maze, and each relationship brought something new to the table as far as my own teachings about life itself, which is why I'm really, really good when it comes to helping other people with their relationships, because not only of all my past experiences, but also with all the readings that I've done. My parents were married for 64 years before my mom passed.
Yeah.
62 years of that marriage, they were miserable. And I did not want to live my life like that. My one brother's married for almost 40 years. My other brother's married for 45 years with his wife for 50 years. I wish I had that. That's what I wanted. But you know what? They also don't have the ability and the gift like I do. They're awesome people. My two brothers and I were very opposite from one another, very opposite, but we have a mutual love and respect for one another. We're very different, but yet we share a lot of the same, you know, family values. Our mom gave us a lot of great qualities, and my father, he was challenging to grow up with. He gave us a lot of great qualities also, but emotionally, he was very difficult to live with because he came from a very negative background. Whereas my mom was very unconditional with her love, so she gave us the balance.
That makes complete sense. And I mean, you have to get that kind of stuff out of you, I'm sure. Everybody should. There really is a typing sound. Do you happen to hear that?
No, it's happening more when you're talking on your end than it is mine.
Okay.
Do you want me to reconnect with you?
One moment. I'm going to turn off this. Okay. Yeah, that's strange. That's never happened before. My friend here says, I feel like Artie has many entities with him interfering in the show.
Stop it, damn it.
You told me that you are on and off your abilities. Yeah, stop messing with us. Yeah. That you can turn on and off your abilities so that when you're in a crowd of people, and I'm not even doing anything for that clicking noise to happen, you might be able to hear or pass or feel something from somebody, but you try to keep your mouth shut. Why is that?
I don't, actually. When I'm out in public, I'm off. My antennas are down when I'm out in public. I don't want to connect to anybody. I don't try to connect to anybody. My antennas are off all the time. They are on when I want to turn it on. But when I'm in at the mall, at the beach, in public, whatever, it's not like I'm bouncing off and I'm seeing dead people around or I see what somebody's going through or whatnot. You know why? Because I don't care. I really don't. Right. Why should I keep my antennas up for everybody else? You know, when I'm in session with someone or when I'm doing a show, my antennas are up, and that's when the angels or the spirit will pull through for me. And I'm not right. saying that to sound, and I'm sorry if I sounded arrogant when I said that, but I have people, friends, who are on 24/7, and they deal with depression because you're taking right. on everybody else's garbage and junk.
Right.
So I don't want to do that. I don't need to be on 24/7. I just need to be on when I need to help people. So when I'm in session or I'm doing parties or I'm doing groups of people or whatever.
Let's hear some Artie party stories.
Okay. Well, the thing is, like, well, there's different types of parties. There's the kind where there's a group of people in one room and I read for everybody, or I can read individuals. I can read individuals at a time. So I'll read 15 minutes to a half hour each individual who's ever showing up at the party. Yeah. So any case, but I'll tell you a couple of stories that happened. So I'm doing a party and a lady is sitting down in front of me and she goes, "Artie, before you start reading me," she goes, "I just want you to know you read for me 2 years ago at this party. My friend had the party here 2 years ago." Yeah. And I don't remember jack crap. I don't remember what I say to people. I don't remember most faces. I just don't. And it's a part of my protection mechanism. So I'm not emotionally connected to everybody who I read for. Again, not being arrogant. So
yeah.
She said, "You read for me here 2 years ago and you said to me, I need to play the lottery or I need to go to Atlantic City because you saw me winning tens of thousands of dollars." She goes, "And I told you that I don't gamble. I never gambled and I still don't gamble." She goes, "Well, 6 months later was my birthday. One of my sons gave me five $2 happy birthday scratch off lotteries."
Ooh.
And the first $2 scratch off lottery, when she scratched it off, she goes, "I won $50,000.
Oh my gosh. Did she give you a commission?
Zero. Zero.
Oh no.
I got paid for the reading. That was it. I gave her a heads up, but I got nothing. I tell you, I got nothing.
Did she at least come back?
Zero. Oh, well, yeah. Well, I was reading her right then and there. I told you.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Sorry. Okay. And did she continue to come back?
No, it was just that one time. People don't need to see me all the time. They see me when they're in trouble or when, you know, crap's hitting the fan or they're missing their loved ones or, you know. So what's really cool, I told you, I wanted to be a therapist growing up. I always wanted to be a therapist. So right now, people consider me their psychic therapist. And I did not go to college for this. I went for a one-weekend seminar. And after that, it was just me wanting to have this burning desire to really learn right. more and more. And I did. So I practiced more and more and more because I just found it fascinating. That right. the fact that I could tell people things before they happen. And
what?
No, I was starting to hear that noise.
Oh.
Mommy, tell it to stop.
Yeah, seriously.
So here I am. So in my book, I have a book that I wrote called Angels and Answers. All right. You get it on ArtieHoffman.com or you could order it Amazon.com. It's called Angels and Answers. It explains about life on a very deep spiritual level, but I explain it in a very simplistic fashion. I talk about deep subjects, but explain on a very simplistic fashion. And I channeled most of the book while I was writing the book. And it also explains about 10 angels, 10 archangels, and also two saints, Mother Teresa and Padre Pio. Those are the two saints that I write about. And you're going to think that I wrote this book just for you because there are so many aha moments that's going to help change your perspective about not just your life, but life itself and why God allow certain things to happen. And it's called free will. I'm very prideful about that. And now I'm in the process of writing my second book. It should be out.
Oh, yay.
Yeah, it should be out fall time. It's in the last editing stages. So the first book is called Angels and Answers. That you can get on artiehoffman.com. The second book, you're going to love the name. You ready? Have Your Angels Call My Angels.
Oh, I love that. When it comes to the angels and answers, do you know a lot about numerology and the different numbers?
Nope.
So
numerology is not my thing. Just because I'm a psychic and a medium. A psychic is somebody who talks about the past, present, and future.
Right.
As a psychic, I'm a medical intuitive. I could usually tell people what's going on inside their bodies or with their pets or with them. I give legal advice, even though I never went to law school. I give tons of relationship advice. But again, it doesn't come from me. It comes all from the spiritual world. That's why I know what I know. So every Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern time, I do a Facebook Live show for free for 1 hour.
Yeah.
I read people for free for 1 hour. And it's 8 p.m. Eastern time called Angels and Answers. It's on the Facebook Live show. So a lady calls me up and, during the show. And she says, Artie, she goes, there's something wrong with my horse. He's not eating. Can you help me find out what's going on with my horse? And I'm thinking to myself in the moment, here I am doing Facebook Live. Thousands of people are watching me. I'm not a vet. And I just sat there for a moment. I said, give me a moment. So the spiritual world, the angel showed me the image of the horse. And I said, the problem with the horse, because she said the veterinarian already went there and couldn't figure out what the problem was with the horse, because the horse wasn't eating and it was losing a lot of weight. And so it wasn't cancer, because they thought it might be cancer, but it wasn't cancer. I said, the problem is that the horse, your horse, has a lot of inflammation from the stomach to the intestines. It's very inflamed. And so the horse's food is not being properly digested. And when it goes from the stomach through the intestines, it's very painful for the horse. So the horse does not eat because of the extreme pain that it's dealing with. The following week, the lady got back online with me and she says, Artie, she goes, let me tell you a testimonial. She goes, I called back the vet and he checked out the area of what you were talking about with the horse. And she said, you're 100% right. She goes, the horse's intestines to the stomach was inflamed and that there was nothing he could do for it. And unfortunately, I had to put the horse down. But at least they found out what the problem was.
Yeah.
Now, granted, I never saw her horse. I'm not a veterinarian. But the spiritual world gave me all these beautiful answers.
Yeah, they wanted you to know and they wanted you to let her know so that she could have peace of mind when the horse was to be put down, so that she didn't wonder after the horse passed, like what might have happened, like what went wrong. The vet couldn't give me an answer. That's amazing and beautiful that you could do that. And in your live stream that I watched, you were speaking about a dog with big floppy ears. And I was like, oh my goodness, this is probably making everybody cry right now, because I definitely teared up. It gave me chills to see you do that. And I saw that you had a pendulum. Tell us about what that pendulum is and what it does for you.
Here it is.
There it is, right next to Artie.
Yeah, I'll tell you. The pendulum, it's really amazing. I call it, I jokingly say, here, let me grab my magic eight ball. Let me shake it up and see what it says.
Yeah.
And so it's really cool. So the pendulum, when you hold it up, there's a pendulum. When you go to a spiritual place and they have a bunch of pendulum that they're selling, it has to speak to you.
Right.
So you just don't pick up one. Oh, it's pretty one. That does it feel right in your hand? Does it feel for you? You know, are you feeling it?
Yeah.
So a beautiful friend of mine got me this pendulum. So ever since I've had this pendulum, it's been really, really awesome. It's been really, really awesome. It's a special girl in my life who got me this. And this way means yes. I spoke to the pendulum. I go, which way means yes? This is yes. If it goes like this, side to side, it means no. So I could literally ask the pendulum any question I want. It's extremely accurate. I got to tell you, it's freaking amazing. It's like I feel like I just learned like another aspect of spirituality of life, that it takes out a lot of, I wonder if. Yeah. So between my intuitiveness, so while the pendulum's going back and forth, I'll get visions on more details about the situation. So when people are asking me, Art, should I stay or should I go? Should I take this job or should I go for that job? You know, so it gives me a lot of accurate information. So today, I got to tell you, you know, I invested in the stock market. And so anyway, I kind of made a bet at the end of the day yesterday. And unfortunately, that one bet, now I have a few different investments. Unfortunately, it went directly in the opposite of what I thought it was going to be. I knew I was going to lose some money on that, but I asked the pendulum, will I be making, just because I lost money in the moment overnight, you know, because of the stock market the way it is, will I make money tomorrow, meaning today? And the pendulum said, yes, you'll be making money tomorrow. Don't worry. You'll be making money. I said, great. So I'm still nervous as hell because the stock was taking off at night. And I'm like, oh, God, oh, God. But the pendulum said, the spiritual world said, don't worry. You're going to make money. You're going to make money. And sure enough, I looked at the stock right at the very beginning. I was out a few bucks. I thought I was going to be out thousands and thousands of dollars. I was only minus a few dollars. And then 1 hour later, I was up $4,000 with my other investment.
Wow. That is insane.
And so the pendulum said, do not sell any of your stocks today. Hold on to it until Monday or Tuesday, and then you sell. So I wanted to sell because I was up $4,000. So, you know, the pendulum is unbelievable. Now, it's not just about money. People say, well, Artie, if you're such a good psychic, how come you're not a billionaire and picking out the lottery numbers? Because it's not meant for that.
Yeah.
Have I given out winning lottery numbers to other people? Yes. Pick threes, pick fours, winning situation with investments, gambling situations. I have given out, but it has to naturally come to me. So if I'm in a reading with you and I'm connecting to your Aunt Sally or Grandmother Mary or whoever, and while I'm with you, if the answers naturally come to me, I'll share with you, you know, the lottery number or whatever.
Right.
But if somebody asks me, Art, what's the lottery number for tonight or whatever, I can't do it because now you're acting out of greed.
Yes.
So like, give it to me. But I'll tell you a really, really cool story you're going to love. So this has to do with one of the parties.
Okay.
So I'm doing a party for a group of women. There's like 40 women in this one restaurant. And so I said to this one lady in the restaurant, I said, your mother's here right now. And she said, you need to play her birthday. I didn't know what the numbers were, but she told me to tell you, you need to play my birthday right away because it's coming out real soon. And so anyway, so I told her that. So the owner of the place calls me up 2 weeks later and she goes, Artie, hi, this is Kathy. I'm the owner of the cafe that you're at before. I said, yeah, how's it going? She goes, I got to tell you something. She goes, you told one of the women in the audience that she needed to play her mother's birthday. She goes, that was my best friend. And the next day she played her mother's birthday, the pick four, and she won $6,000.
Wow.
Now, what was really cool is that this woman does missionary work. So she travels the world helping people for free. She just gets room and board or whatever, maybe a few bucks. But that was her mother's gift to her to let her know how proud she is of her.
Aww.
And how much she loves her.
It wasn't greed-based.
It wasn't greed-based at all. You know, have I given people winning football picks from the other side? Yes. Have I given winning lottery numbers from the other side? Pick threes, pick fours? Yes. Easily over 100 times, at least.
Wow. And I know that you said you know who's going to win the election, too, but we'll stay away from that topic.
Yeah, we won't go to that. I already know who's going to win that one, hands down.
I feel like I also do. Don Wallace wants to know, what can Artie tell me about my baby due in November?
What's the person's name?
Don Wallace.
Her child is going to be such a character, incredibly funny, filled with charisma. I mean, at a young age, this kid already wants to be on stage making people laugh.
I told her she, wow, that's funny.
Okay. Very vivacious personality she's got coming to her. And like this kid is going to have quick wits at such an early age. It's like, where did you even learn those words? It's like, where did you even learn to get that concept? Her child's going to be extremely inquisitive, like always asking 1,001 questions. And her child's going to act like an adult at a very early age.
It sounds just like the mom.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The chip off the old block. She's having a boy. I got to tell you a funny story, being that I just said that.
What?
You're going to laugh at this one. And, you know, I'm not mocking anybody. I got to tell you in advance, I'm not mocking anybody. I'm just making something funny, okay? So a lot of ladies who come, well, I do feel like she will have a girl after this boy, because I do feel a girl around her.
She wants more, too. Sorry to throw you out there, Dawn.
Oh, yeah. No, but she has a girl. She definitely has a girl coming to her as well, because I see a female energy. So a lot of times when women come to see me, and if they're pregnant, you know, this one lady's rubbing her stomach. She goes, Artie, so what do you think I'm having? They already know what they're having. They already know what they're having, but they're seeing if I'm right or not. And right. So I put my hand on the stomach of the mother. And I said to her, I said, female energy, I feel like you're having a girl. She goes, no, it's a boy. I said, well, then he's gay.
Oh, my gosh.
She was laughing. Yeah. You know, she didn't take it personal.
Right. So, yeah. It's just your humor.
It was just a sense of humor. That's all. As Jerry Seinfeld would say, not that there's anything wrong with that.
Right. Oh, that was a good impersonation. That was a great impersonation. Dawn said she's crying. Thank you. And then there is another question in here. And I actually am really curious to know if you know the answer. And I'm sure you do.
Hold on two seconds. Going back to Dawn. The child loves to hear music.
Oh.
When you sing to the child or loves to listen to guitar music, or the child loves to listen to music.
I'm sure Dawn also has chills right now. That's insane. Dawn hears music in her hair. Very intuitive as well. So to have Dawn cry, that means you're a real psychic.
Well, now that I got my validation.
I cried. Like I said, I cried during your live stream. I was like, wow, this is amazing. And the amount of people that were so open-minded and that you speak with, and it just comes to you and it just flows right out of you. It's just really sensational. It's amazing.
I got to tell you a funny story. That you're going to laugh at this.
Okay.
So I was dating this one girl many moons ago. I'm dating this one girl and we're in Atlantic City. All right. And every Friday morning, I was on this other country station out of Atlantic City. I would always go on their show via phone call. A lot of times I go in the studio, but because of the COVID stuff, I don't go there for the now. But any case, my point is, so all of a sudden the phone rings. And I'm lying in bed in a dead sleep. The phone rings and I go, oh, and I pick up the phone and I go, what day is it? I go, and so my girlfriend's like, it's Friday. I go, oh my God, this is Cat Country. I said, oh my God, I got to pick up the phone. So all of a sudden, here I am. I'm in my underwear. I'm on the 17th floor. I run to the window. I sit on the chair. I'm looking out the window. I'm gazing into the skies. It's all going boom, 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 boom. So the producer goes, Artie, are you ready? He goes, did you forget us? I said, no, don't worry. So I'm acting like, no, everything's cool. Don't worry. I'm ready
fine.
For I got this. Go ahead. So I'm sitting in my underwear, sitting on the chair. My feet are up on the air conditioner, you know, on the vents of the air conditioner, looking out the window. And all of a sudden, I started connecting to the lady's mother, right away. and I'm giving her details about Canada and how they were supposed to go to Canada before she died and it never happened. And I was talking about her cat. And I was talking about this and talking about that. And all of a sudden, she goes, oh, my God. So the girl was crying. She goes, oh, my God. Now, mind you, after I did a couple of readings, you know, the show is over because I just go as a cameo show up.
Yeah.
So anyway, so I hung up and I went right back to bed. And so now my girlfriend at the time looks at me. She goes, Artie, how the hell did you do that? You woke up out of a dead sleep. You're looking out the window, you're in your underwear, and all of a sudden you just start telling people about their life. I said, I don't know how I did it either, but I did it. I didn't even
think about it. It just happened.
It just happened. You know, I was just praying like hell that the angels have a good sense of humor.
That is hilarious, definitely.
You know, so when I tell you, I feel very, very blessed for who I am and what I do. I go, let me tell you something. If you think what I do is the devil's work, then I need to shake his hand and thank him, because the devil helped me save thousands of people's lives. I have helped heal thousands and thousands of people emotionally and physically. And so what I'm saying is, it's not dark energy what I do. Are there people who manipulate other people doing what I do? Yes. You do have people who are not nice doing what I do. But It's all what your intentions are behind your actions is what makes something right or wrong. So I do pray to God every day, and I do pray to my angels every day. And I thank God for all my blessings, and I thank God and the angels for sharing with me all the beautiful answers so I could do God's work, so I could help out other people. And I feel very, very blessed to be put in my position to be able to help out that many people, that God chose me to be one of the people who help out many, many of his children. And I love it. I really do. I absolutely feel lucky, blessed, you know, and it pays pretty good.
If you're not tapping into something evil and you're like, this is your intuition, this is your empathy, and this is your gift, it's God-given. I don't see how that could possibly come from the devil. I really
think so. It only is if you're trying to manipulate people. So
exactly.
I say to people, if you're going in for a reading, if anybody ever says to you, oh, somebody put a curse on you, leave. Right away, mm-hmm. I want you to leave. No one put a curse on you. The person who just told you somebody put a curse on you, they're the one to put a curse on you. They planted the seed in your brain to think that someone put a curse on you. That's why your relationship sucks. That's why your money sucks. And you're going to see these people because you are vulnerable and they know that. So they're telling you the reason why your life sucks is because someone put a curse on you. And guess what? For $80,000, I can remove the curse. Give me a piece of gold jewelry so I can bring it to the Vatican. I'm going to burn a candle. And basically what they're doing is they're scamming you.
Absolutely.
And then you have people who say, oh, you're going to die at the age of 56 when you're 26 or 38. Listen, anyone who's mean enough, arrogant enough to tell you when you're going to die, they're not good readers also. I think they suck because there's no reason for you to know when you're going to die because it will ruin the quality of your life, even on a subconscious level.
Can I ask you this one question for my friend Amanda? I think she really, really wants to see what you say about this.
All right, 2 seconds. I just want to finish off on a thought.
Oh, sure.
So in regards to people telling you when you're going to die, the reason why it's really bad for someone to tell someone else when they're going to die, when they're a psychic and they're telling someone else, whether they're right or wrong, if you plant that seed into someone else's head in their thoughts, you can help that person make that a self-fulfilling prophecy because you're programming them that they're only going to live to be certain amount of, you know, certain for a certain amount of time. They're going to be here on earth, which isn't right. And so the only time I'll answer that question, how much more time do they have? If somebody is already on their deathbed and you have to figure things out, that's totally different when somebody has a terminal disease. But if you're basically pretty healthy, you know, you're walking around, walking, talking, everything's pretty normal. Even if you have cancer, regardless, I'm not going to tell somebody when they're going to die. It's totally mean, unnecessary, and it's terrible. So I would never do that to somebody. So if anybody does that to you, just walk away.
It's negative.
It's mean. It's not right. I don't care if they're right or wrong. It makes no difference. It's not right. Now, do I tell people bad news or hard news? I do. But when I do, I tell them how to get out of it. Or I'll tell them anything that I could tell them from the spiritual world to give them back their power so that they're no longer vulnerable to anybody or anything. And that's my greatest gift that I give to everybody who I do a reading for. I give people back their power rather than feeling vulnerable to a relationship or to a job or their life circumstances. So I can see things past the now, and I'm able to get people, like I said, back their power. So I'm like Dr. Phil, Teresa Caputo, and Billy Crystal all wrapped up in one.
So we added Dr. Phil.
The life coach.
Yeah, you're like the psychic therapist, like you said, one of the two words, psychic therapist.
Psychic therapist, yes. The psychic psychotic.
Yeah.
It's really funny. You know, they say that if you talk to God, they call it prayer. If God talks to you, they call it psychotic.
Funny. All right. So Amanda is wondering what Artie thinks about the person she's with. Can I give you a little backstory on her? She has gone through some trauma with the relationship before the one she's in now. And she wants to probably see from what my intuition is saying, like probably see what you think about where this might go with this person. It's not been that long. I'm not going to give like an exact amount of time, but it hasn't been that long with this guy. They both have children.
They have children together or they both have children in separate relationships?
Their own. their own separate children. Yes. And she was in a very long relationship prior to this man.
So what's the question?
I'm wondering what Artie thinks about the person I'm with.
They could work it out. Just because there's stressful times, I feel like this is one of the times where if they did go to a counselor, because I feel like they really do care about each other, but they both have their own agenda on their perspective. But I feel like the love still is there. And I really believe that if they did go to a counselor together, that they could really work it out. Because I'm hearing a song in my head. I hear songs in my head while I do readings also. And I'm hearing the song by the Beatles. We can work it out. We can work it out. Life is very short. So I'm hearing that song in my head that just because you're going through some rough patches, it doesn't mean that it cannot not work out. But if you're looking for instant gratification, you know, that's the part and that's the beauty about a healthy long-term relationship is working through the rough times, the hard times. If your heart's not into it, then yeah, it's time to call it quits. But if your heart's into it, but you're just going through some challenging times, this relationship, I feel like the communication just needs to be better in the way that you communicate and not attack one another, but to really communicate your feelings and thoughts to let the other person in. And don't assume that he should already know. Well, come on, you should know. We've been together. You've done this. No, don't pull that crap. You know, never assume that people know things what you think they should know, because most of the times when people assume things about other people, they're wrong. So spell it out in black and white so that they can make a healthy, conscientious choice to make better decisions to improve matters. But if you're just assuming that they should already know, well, then guess what? Shame on you too, because they don't.
I want to add to that, Artie, because I feel like you answered a question for Amanda that was in regards to her past relationship and her current one. It was really crazy how you just did that, because she and her ex are on good terms, but she also has this new person. And I feel they're probably both questions for her. And I know that she meant it more so for the current relationship, but she's saying, I do have issues with letting others in. I feel like you definitely gave her two answers.
So when you're saying, you know, is my relationship going to work? How can it work if you're not allowing people into your heart? So the thing is like there's two different types of heart. There's the heart with the defensive heart, all right? And then there's the heart of the emotional heart, you know? And then if your defensive heart means I'm afraid of being hurt, so therefore you're not letting people in because you don't want to be hurt. And then yet you're expecting the best out of the other person. But if your emotional heart is pretty high, then you're opening up your heart to be loved and to be loving. And guess what? With that comes vulnerability, and with that, not only comes extreme love, but it also comes with pain. So if you're blocking the best of you of being open to your partner, then why are you beating up your partner? Or why are you asking, like, is our relationship going to work? If you give a half-ass effort, then you're going to get half-ass results. But if you want the best out of any situation, you got to give your all-out best and know that you gave your all-out best.
That's sound advice for anybody almost.
For anybody,
that was very...
of course.
Yeah, anybody listening, I feel like this could also be meant for you, because there's some people in here that haven't said anything, but I see you. I actually had a question, another Artie question. You've done readings and conventions all over the place. What would you say was your favorite place that you, it's not called an Artie party when you go to these things, right? Like when you did the Trump Plaza?
Yeah, Trump Plaza. I did the casinos in Atlantic City. That was really cool. That was one of the biggest compliments I ever got when I did a show. So after I did the show, there was about 200 people in the audience, and it was all for their high rollers that were there. And so after I got finished, it was about a 1 o'clock show in the afternoon. So after the show was over, the event coordinator came up to me and said, Artie, oh my God, that was a great show. That was so amazing. I go, thank you very much. I appreciate it. She goes, no, you don't understand. She goes, I'm not just complimenting you on your performance. She goes, nobody in the audience left. And I said, well, why should they leave? She goes, no, every single entertainer we ever had come, at least half the audience would leave once they got their free food or they got their free gift and they just wanted to go and gamble. they didn't want to listen to the performer or to the whoever, the musician, whatever. No matter who we had up here, half the audience would leave. I said, wow. I said, that's really cool. So that was one of my biggest compliments that I got doing a show. But the thing is, I feel very comfortable speaking in front of a large group of people because it's not about me. It's about sharing information with the public. So when I was about in my late 20s or early 30s, I used to do stand-up comedy in New York. And half the time I sucked and half the time I was pretty good. But it was very nerve-wracking every time I would go up there because there's a difference about being funny spontaneously in the moment and being funny on stage because you have to be funny.
Oh, yeah.
And it's all about you. Was I funny? Did I look good? Did I say this right? Da-da-da. You know, there's a lot of judging when you're a stand-up. But when I started to speak about spirituality and about being psychic or communicating to people's loved ones, it wasn't about me. So I'd be telling people my story. I'd be telling people about what it's like beyond this world or connecting to their loved ones who passed away or, you know, psychic ability stuff. So when I was sharing this information, I'm always so passionate about wanting to share information with the public that I don't worry about what people think about me. I don't care. I'm not there trying to get people's approval. I'm teaching people. I'm showing people.
And you're helping people.
I'm helping people. So that's the passion. And then, of course, I got a lot of funny stories along the way while I'm doing my shows. I have a lot of funny experiences, so which makes it even funny while I'm talking about something serious.
Oh, please tell the story about the cows and the mowers.
Oh, okay. This story is in my book called Angels and Answers. And like I said, you can get my book, Angels and Answers, if you go to my website, artiehoffman.com, or if you go to amazon.com, you can get my book called Angels and Answers, and this story's in there. So I'm sorry, I'm going to ruin one chapter, one story for you.
Sorry.
But it's really cool. This is one of the stories at my Artie party. So I'm reading for this one lady. So after her reading was over, I was connecting to her mother. Now, usually when I connect to people, when they come see me in person or whatever, even if I do a phone reading for someone, I say, show me a picture of the person who you want to connect to. Because when I look in the eyes of the person, they communicate to me in my thoughts. I don't always need a picture, but that's my crutch. So here I am. I'm at an Artie party. I'm reading for this one lady. All right. Her time is over. All right. It's a half hour. The time is over. I give her back her mother's picture. She goes, I'm having a really hard time that you're actually connecting to my mother. She goes, yeah, it's true. You told me some information. Some of it was general. Granted, it could have been with anybody, but yet it did have to do with her. I give you that. She goes, and you did tell me some specific things that had to do with just her. I give you that. But I'm really having a hard time that it was actually my mother who you're communicating to. And I said, well, I could only share with you what the spiritual world shares with me. I don't know what else to tell you. So I said, all right, I'll tell you what. Give me your mother's picture one last time. So I'm looking at her mother's picture. And I said to her, I said, your mom is showing me cows. She goes, well, what do you want me to? She goes, what do you want me to do with that? I go, I don't know. I said, your mom is showing me cows. And so in my eyes' mind, all the cows got up and they were all mooing. And so I looked at her and I said, I don't know why I'm doing this, but moo. And the lady started to break down crying. And I said, what's the matter? And she points to her mother's picture. And she goes, that's her name. I go, what are you talking about? Her name's Muriel, but everyone called her Moo. I said, well, there's your answer. So I gave her back her mother's picture. I said, now get out of here.
Bye-bye, lady. That's you right. Got your answer. Don't come to an Artie party if you don't believe that it can happen for you. Well, right. Go and find out that it can.
I welcome skeptics.
Yeah, he I does. So any septics here, raise your hand.
Anybody who has to go to the bathroom, please raise your hand and then just take off.
I'm just
go to the bathroom.
I felt like earlier it was funny because you mentioned stand-up comedy, and right before you said that, and previously before the comedy statement, you had mentioned that nobody had ever left the convention at Trump Plaza, and you got your best compliment ever. I thought in my head, I was like, that is such an arty joke just based on how you've been making humor. Because I was like, I hope they brought their adult Pampers if they didn't leave the party. What would you call that when you do those big conventions?
I hate this word. This is the word that they use to call it. They call it a gallery. I'd rather just call it a show.
Yeah.
It's a psychic show. A psychic party is when I'm at your house and I'm reading for your friends and family, and I read them individually or I read them in a group. It's a psychic party. But when I'm doing a big event, I call it a psychic show. But I know other psychics call it a gallery. I don't know why I don't like that word, but I don't like that word. Gallery is good if you're at an art gallery. Not a gallery. It's like I'm not showing off anything.
I'm not a Picasso piece.
That's right.
I'm Artie Hoffman. Well,
that's
I'm not.
Right. Get with the picture. Yeah. No pun intended. Yeah. Get with the picture.
Oh, that was a good one. That was a good one. So how often do you do your Artie galleries? Also a pun.
Well, put it this way. I average about a party or two a week. That's my average. A party or two a week. And I also do readings individually, whether it be in person, because I'm in Woodbridge, New Jersey. I do them over the phone. I'm just as accurate over the phone. I'm a riot at weddings, funerals, and bar mitzvahs. I'm only kidding.
I believe you, though. I don't feel like that was all the way a joke.
No, I keep pretty busy. And during the COVID thing, I haven't been able to do as many parties as I normally do. But I go to Ocean City, New Jersey, which is way South Jersey. It's close to Atlantic City. It's a little past Atlantic City, but not as far down as Cape May. But I go to Ocean City, New Jersey once a month, and I read for people in the area at a hair salon called the Bella's Hair Salon. Yeah, so I book appointments once a month there, and that's been doing very well. But since the COVID things happened, my phone readings have been like really, really busy. As far as the parties go, I average about two times a week. The most I've ever done in 1 week ever was 5 parties. And with a party, you're usually averaging about 12 people a party that I'm doing individual readings. So I would say the most people I've ever read for in my entire life, the most I ever did in 1 week in my entire life, no exaggeration, probably like ballpark about 75 to 80 people in 1 week. That's a lot. Wow. That's a lot.
That's definitely a lot. There's someone in here named Hannah Kennedy asking if you could just say something to her. I guess it's pretty vague. She just said, read me.
I can't do that. Okay? She needs to ask a specific question. When I'm answering people on the air, like when I do my Facebook Live show, I tell people, don't ask me how's my 2021.
Yeah.
Ask me, what do you see for me? Don't ask me, are there anybody out there who wants to talk to me? The answer is no. If you say, my grandmother, Bertha, passed away, does she have anything to say to me? Does my son have anything to say to me who passed away or whatever? I want to know how old your kid is if they passed away. If you want to know about your love life, let me know. Are you in a relationship or you're not in a relationship? You know, ask me specific questions and I'll give you specific answers. Because you have to understand, number one, I can't see, I'm not zeroing in just on your energy. There's a lot of energies. So when you're giving me specific questions, I'll give you specific answers.
And we have a very specific question here. I wonder if my dad is around and if Artie may be able to connect with him. Maybe he can give me some words of wisdom from my dad. Amanda Watts.
Wants to connect to her dad. I'm not sure if she just cut herself while shaving or she was just shaving her leg, or he was always very meticulous about what there's something about with shaving that he's mentioning. Something with shaving cream. Hold on a second. I also feel that she needs more serenity in her house. I feel like she doesn't have balance in her house. There's like a negative, there's a heavy energy around her house. I'm not saying somebody put a spell on you or curse on you. I'm not saying that. But there's a heaviness within her house and it's like, it's not healthy. And so I feel like your father's telling me burn candles in the house. There's something about burning candles in the house that helps bring serenity in the household. Also, when you have white flowers, live white flowers, not plastic, not acrylic, live white flowers in your house, white flowers soaks up negative energy. And that's going to help balance out the energy. But her father is concerned for her because I feel like her life is very off balance. She gets very anxious or very upset very easily. And so she needs to be out of her house a lot more. She needs to, like, go for the walks in the park, go for the bike rides. She needs to stay with comedies, listen to music you love to listen to. You can't keep on dwelling on the negative, because you're never going to be able to get ahead, and you're not going to be able to get out of that funk. Try to make the best of it. And he said, I want you to know that I can't thank you enough for everything you've ever done for me, especially towards the end of my life, and that I love you more than you realize. And he goes, I am very proud of you. I just want you to know I am proud of you. And I feel like somebody did, I don't know if it's her or somebody else, but somebody did a tattoo on his behalf with the passing. So he's acknowledging a tattoo.
Oh, wow. I can't even speak right now. Amanda said, I used to shave his hair all the time with clippers. It's just that this is very slow when it comes in through here. So we're getting comments very slowly. So I'm sure she'll be saying something here in a second. And then there's just one last person that I feel like she really needs this. Her name's Hannah Kennedy. And she says, ask if my papa or grandma is watching over me and my kids. Her name is Marilyn Howell or Bobby Rose. And Amanda said she cried. I was going to ask if he was proud, and she got a dad tattoo. So that was very on point, Artie, as usual.
Cool. What was the other one? That somebody wanted to connect to their grandmother and grandfather?
Yeah, so her name is Hannah Kennedy, the one asking.
All
and
right,
stop,
Hannah Kennedy. Somebody has a habit of saying the expression, oh, that's poo-poo. Or that's poo-poo. Or was someone known as Pooh Bear or poo-poo? I keep getting something with poo-poo. Poppy, poo-poo. Or who's known as Poopsie or poop. There's also one of them, somebody has this thing for Betty Boop. I'm seeing something with Betty Boop also. Having little Betty Boop figures or somebody has a shirt or figurines of Betty Boop that they liked.
She said Papa. So I feel like maybe she can't put into a sentence right now what she just felt from you.
Hold on. Hannah Kennedy. Oh, and they were also very, very generous to her financially. They would always be giving her money. And he had a coin collection. But I'm getting lots of extra change. Was she aware of that?
Yeah, Hannah, if you're okay right now, answer that in a second, because I'm feeling really
And they're both sending lots and lots of love to her and said, yes, we are both watching over you and the kids. And your grandmother just said, you have to ask?
That sounds like something Hannah's grandmother would probably say, because I know her. So it sounds like that would definitely be on point.
And she just said, I bet you missed my cooking.
Oh, wow. Okay. So, wow.
And somebody who's watching right now.
He had a quarter collection.
Oh, a quarter collection. Okay, cool. Also, banana nut bread was a favorite. Either zucchini bread or a banana nut bread was also a favorite that they used to either make or buy for them all the time.
Oh, wow. My mind was already blown when I watched your live stream, but now it's double, triple blown. Yeah, Hannah said, wow, so I assume that's a yes.
With what? I said a lot of things.
Yeah. I mean, she's probably, if I'm crying, I assume Hannah's probably tearing up over there too right now. Like, I'm too sensitive.
You want to know something? When people say to me, hey, Artie, if I'm going to have an Artie party, what do you need from me? And I tell them, you need a private room, a table, two chairs, and a box of tissues.
Oh, here you go. Her name is Grana. We called her Grana Banana.
Oh, there you are. Grana Banana. That's funny. There's the banana nut bread. And it wouldn't surprise me, because you must have been a little crazy, because that's where the banana nut comes in.
That's hilarious. She said, I'm in tears, girl. Oh, Hannah, sending you love. Sending all of you love. That's, yeah. I feel like you are like a real blessing to so many people, Artie. Everybody go buy his book, because there's got to be some really amazing stories.
It really is. I promise you, you're going to think I wrote this book just for you. You're going to have a lot of aha moments when you read the book. I promise you that. You're probably going to cry while you're reading the book too. And there's a lot of really cool pictures, illustrations in there that you're going to love. There's illustrations of beautiful flowers, red cardinals. I know there are people who acknowledge the red cardinals with their loved ones to let them know that they're around you. So yes,
I've been seeing a lot of red cardinals actually myself And
yeah, I see it a lot. I like it a lot.
I like it a lot. I love cardinals. Yeah. Okay, well, follow Artie's Facebook page. It's Artie Hoffman's Angels and Answers.
And if anybody wants to email me, you could just go to artiehoffman@gmail.com. I have a lot of 5-minute videos that I do of talking about life and relationships and God and everything. A little 5-minute relationships on YouTube. Again, if you go to artiehoffman.com.
I put it up there for you.
You're the bestest. You're awesome. Again, my Facebook Live show, Sunday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern time. Oh, and every single morning, I put up inspirational messages on my Instagram, on my website, Artie Hoffman, my Instagram, Artie Hoffman. And there's also one called The Hottest Psychic. On my business card, it says Artie Hoffman, the hottest psychic with the warmest heart.
Is it at Artie Hoffman on Instagram? No underscores or anything?
No underscores. It's just okay. Artie Hoffman.
This guy is awesome. He's obviously the real deal. Don says, God bless you, Artie. You've made everybody's day in the comments, and I'm sure you've got some people that will be emailing you and reaching out to you soon. So,
yeah, thank you. Thank you. I really appreciate your time. You're an awesome hostess, and I really enjoyed my time with you. It's very good. I had a really good time. It was very nice.
Thank you, Artie. I'm glad that my time zone discrepancy didn't affect this.
You know, there's a saying, my friend once said to me, he goes, Artie, it's all good in the end. And he goes, and if it's not good, then it's not the end.
Yeah, there you go. For everyone that's also wondering why I'm sweating so much, it's because it's 94 degrees in the room I'm in. So that's why I'm sweating. I'm crying and sweating. It's cleansing.
It's a cleansing. You're going through a cleansing, darling.
I'm sorry. But Artie Hoffman, everybody, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. You're a sweetheart.
Thank you. You have a blessed night.
You take care. Have a beautiful weekend, everybody.
All right. Goodbye, everyone.
Good night.